Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, taking you through a Tuesday in Nashville, Tennessee. Heartbreaking day for our community. I think the latest count is 9 confirmed dead in a tornado outbreak in our city. Just heartbreaking to see the images that have popped up. We've talked about it all show long, Joe. The images and the videos and the stories continue to kind of roll in here, both on social media and on television as we're kind of sitting here watching in the studio. And the more that, you know, you're able to explore, go out and explore, in terms of the helicopter rides and the drones that we have access to now, and see the damage from a bird's eye view, the more incredible it is and almost unbelievable it is, just the level of destruction out there. East Nashville, Germantown, North Nashville, Lebanon, Mount Juliet, you know, all over the place. I mean, it's really, really bad out there. You know, just something that you pray that you never have to go through as a family, as a person, as a city. But we're having to go through it right now. And, you know, Mayor John Cooper and Governor Bill Lee talked about an hour ago now. They addressed the media, provided an update, said there's still some search and rescue operations going on out there. So, obviously, right now, I mean, that's where my thoughts are and my prayers are is with our first responders as they continue to sift through the wreckage of what was just an awful storm last night.
Yeah, and, you know, Governor Bill Lee did say that, you know, it's certainly possible that there will be more fatalities. Hopefully they'll find people and rescue people, and that number won't go up. Of the images, so many images, one that I've seen a lot today is it's the Believe Nashville building, you know, which was largely destroyed, but that the I Believe in Nashville mural remains. And so that's one of the most of these images are, you know, hard to look at, frankly, but that's one that I think will probably endure from this, you know, and maybe serve as a little bit of hope and inspiration amid all this. I have no doubt that we've talked about the first responders, that they are doing an incredible job. I appreciate them. Appreciate all the journalists out, you know, trying to get information out. And, you know, we'll get through this. And I think to reiterate every chance we get on if you want to help, I think two points to make there. One, you know, don't be on the roads today if you don't have to be. That's one thing that you know, Mayor John Cooper made that point, and it's an important one. And then also, you know, if you do want to help, and I got to make sure I get this information correct. I had it earlier. Help me out.
H-O Nashville.
Yeah. Yes. H-O Nashville. To be
which is Hands-On Nashville.
Hands-On Nashville, but it's at HO Nashville on Twitter.
Right.
HON.org is a website. And, you know, to be part of an organized effort, which really is more efficient and helpful, frankly.
Yeah, and if you want to donate monetarily, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee, at CFMT on Twitter. I believe their website is CFMT.org. Mayor Cooper did talk about that in his press conference as well. Joe, one of the most jarring images for me that I've noticed really since the early hours of this morning, because there were some original pictures right after the storm of Donaldson Christian Academy just getting leveled. I know it's not the only school They got leveled schools, churches, businesses, all homes, neighborhoods, a lot of places just feeling utter devastation. But the Donaldson Christian Academy just got totally destroyed. And it got me thinking, you know, at least I guess one silver lining is that school was hit while nobody was there, because, I mean, it's totally wrecked, totally leveled to the ground. And I hesitate to even think about what could have happened had that, you know, hit in the middle of a school day. I mean, it's just terrifying.
Yeah, our buddy Big Joe Dubin, tweeted some pictures, and his son goes to that school. My son plays basketball there every weekend. We love that place. You know, it's a great gym. It's a great campus, little neighborhood, and there's a lot of damage outside of the school in there, too. That was obviously a touchdown point, and it's awful to see that. And like you said, you look for, I mean, you think about how things could be worse in this situation too. You go through all the things, how lucky you are to be sitting here when something like this rips through your community, and how things could be worse. But then also, again, that, you know, that fatality count rising. It, frankly, it's rising slower than I feared when we started this show at 6 a.m. I mean, you just don't know with something like this. And hopefully it'll stay right where it is.
Yeah, I hope so. So, you know, on days like this, it can be very difficult to make the transition back into sports and talk about sports. But we're going to attempt to do that now and break down the Predators game from last night, an 8-3 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. And Nashville Predators coach John Hines had some strong words for his team after the game, and I just flat out asked him. I mean, he mentioned the intensity level not being there, the effort level not being where it needs to be. It's not the first time that John Hines has made comments like this regarding this group with this team since he's taken over on January the 7th. And I just straight up asked him last night, how does that continually happen with this group and the veterans that they have? Here's what John Hines had to say in the press conference last night.
That's a good question. I think that's something that, you have to continually work on to figure out where, you know, as you said, you're coming in, you got a big back-to-back. We've played well recently, and then it just seemed like tonight that for whatever reason, and that's on me too, I got to find out. I mean, I'm coaching the team, so why did we want to have an easy game? And why did we come out in the third period with absolutely no intensity of effort? And that's something that, you know, we got to figure out going into tomorrow.
Some strong words right there.
Really strong words from John Hines. And, you know, he mentioned coming out no intensity, zero intensity of effort. And, Joe, I think you brought up to him, you know, in the second period, they fight back real quick. They got two goals in 14 seconds. It's 2-2. At the end of that period, it's 3-3 at the end of that period. And you feel like if you're the Predators, you know, you scored three goals in that period. Edmonton scored one. You feel like you're in a good spot. You battled your way back in the game. And even John Hines after the game was like, yeah, you know what? We had a couple shifts where we decided to play the right way, which I think the term that he used. But other than that, nothing was really sustained. Like, it just seemed like he was very unhappy with the effort in its entirety last night, which I was kind of surprised by because I didn't think they were that bad in the second period.
Well, neither did I, because that was my question, was kind of like, how surprising was the third given what you did in the second? I mean, when the second ended, I know I was like, wow, good period for the Preds. And they really fought. Like you said, they got those two goals 14 seconds apart. But apart from that, I thought that they had a lot of chances. I thought that they had some possession in the offensive zone. I mean, to my naked eye, I thought it was a pretty good period. Now, it could be that, you know, in the wake of that loss, a coach isn't going to want to really be like, yeah, actually, let's talk about the positives of the second period.
Right.
You know, so you got to.
Which I find awesome and refreshing. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, and that's understandable. But like wanting an easy game, why did we want an easy game? That's an interesting way to put it, you know. And we've talked earlier on the show about the question about the greatness of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, which is like when you watched them last night, you're like, the Predators don't have anyone like either of them.
Right. I watched Connor McDavid warm up and was just mesmerized. Like, the way he skates, it just looks different.
It does.
It's not even just the speed aspect of it. I mean, that's a big part of it. But just the way he moves, it looks totally different. Not only than anybody the Predators have, really anybody I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody skate like Connor McDavid can skate. It's unbelievable.
And so that is part of this too, is that those guys are so great and they both exploded in this game. But of course, you know, from the Hines perspective, he used the question about them to kind of talk about compete level and how they rise to the clutch occasion, all that stuff, which, you know, as you pointed out earlier, sure sounded like he was talking to some people in his own locker room.
It did, because in that response, I mean, John Hines, he didn't really mention a whole lot about the talent level that McDavid has or the, you know, the elite scoring ability that Leon Draisaitl has. It was more, hey, you know, when push comes to shove in the third period and they need to step up in a big moment and make a play, they make the play. They're hard to knock off the puck. They're very strong on the puck. How many times last night, Joe, did he talk about not being strong enough on the puck and losing those battles? I mean, he brought it up probably four or five times last night in the press conference. And, you know, when you think of Connor McDavid, I mean, you don't think of, like, brute strength.
No.
But he is very good at being able to hold on to the puck. And too often last night, you know, Forsberg was losing the puck. Johansson was losing the puck. They were turning it over high in the offensive zone and leading the odd man rushes the other way. John Hines brought that up as well about how you get in the offensive zone, you're still up high, kind of come across the blue line, you turn the puck over. It's a three-on-one rush going the other way. Like, those are the things, especially at this point of the year. I mean, they're going to happen maybe once or twice throughout the course of a game. You can't have them happen repeatedly like they did, especially in the third period. I mean, the puck management in the third period, when they had it, which they didn't have it often, but when they did, I mean, it was atrocious.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. This game, who knows? Maybe it's a totally different story. Ryan Johansson, and I don't remember if it was a two-on-one, but Ryan Johansson was coming in point blank and lost the puck right before he was about to shoot. Seconds later, Connor McDavid basically floats one from the blue line and it gets through and it's 4-3, and then it's like the whole thing just totally unraveled from there. You know, if Johansson holds on to that puck and finishes that play, now you've got one of these much maligned big four doing something big, and, you know, 4-3 up in the third, maybe it's totally different. And it's another, you know, Pekka-Rinne hung in there and had a pretty good night, beat the Oilers again. I mean, sometimes it is. It can be one play, and everything else goes from there, and it could be a totally different outcome. But, hey, this is what happened. He didn't finish. He lost the puck. It got through, and then Draisaitl had a bad goal that got through that Pekka-Rinne can't let through. And it ends up being another embarrassing result for this team. So I guess it's probably good for them that they get to play right away. But this is on the road against a surging playoff contender, division rival. This is a huge necessary response tonight.
It was a tough night for Pekka-Rinne last night, as you mentioned there, Joe. How concerned are we about this night for Pekka-Rinne? And how much of an impact do we think it could have on him as the Predators move forward here? We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, we were talking about the Preds and Pekka-Rinne in the last segment. A tough night for Rinne and the Predators last night. Gave up 8 goals and then was pulled on the 8th and final goal by the Edmonton Oilers last night. And you know, the tough part was, you know, Rinne had been sick last week, probably would have gotten a start somewhere in the mix last week if he was completely healthy, but did not. The last two starts he had made before that, I think at home against St. Louis and in Chicago, I mean, he was sensational in both of those starts, played really, really well. I mean, you can make an argument those were the best two games he's played all season long. And to come out last night and just kind of have a clunker like he did. And you mentioned there was at least two he gave up that weren't very good. Probably would like to have those back. You might be able to make an argument for one or two more. There were certainly times where the defense in front of him let him down, no question about it. But I do wonder what sort of an effect a performance last night has on Pekka-Rinne as they move forward, because they're going to need him coming up. I mean, they've got a ton of back-to-backs coming up this month that they're going to need him. And they're just, I mean, their schedule is so compact. He's going to have to continue to play. He's got to find a way to really flush this last game mentally and move ahead.
Yeah, and I would think he'd be able to. I know there's going to be a lot of, this is the death knell for Pekka's career and all that stuff. And it's interesting timing because my buddy and coworker Adam Vingan wrote something at theathletic.com yesterday about, you know, are we seeing, to paraphrase, are we witnessing sort of the end of the Pecorino era? And we are. We are seeing the transition. There's no question about that. The question is, how fast does it go, and how is it a thud or is it a gentle exit? And obviously, last night was a thud. I'm not convinced that's what he is the rest of the way. Like you said, his last two times out, he was terrific. So that same guy was a week ago.
Yeah.
Was great. So he'll bounce back mentally, I believe. I mean, of course, this guy's been in the league for a long time. It's one of the good things about being an old goaltender is you've seen it all, and you've gotten pretty good at wiping that short-term memory. But it was still, it was just an ugly scene for him last night. And I don't think this team is going to get where it wants to go if they can't rely on both of those guys. You know, Saros, a lot's on him tonight at Minnesota. A lot is on him.
It's a big one tonight in Minnesota.
There's still a lot of back-to-backs ahead. So yeah. There's going to be still a lot of Pecorino in net for this team. So he's just got to flush it. Like, if I had to, it's just like I would bet. If I had to bet, I'd bet the Predators will play a lot better tonight. And if I had to bet, I would bet that Pecorino's next outing will be a positive response from him. Doesn't mean he's not declining. He is, and he is on his way out soon. But this team's still got to be able to get something out of him.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. And, you know, we've mentioned in the past, you know, you can tell kind of early on sometimes when Rene's just not feeling it in a game. I remember, and Mark Spector and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. You think back to that Game 7 against Winnipeg a couple years ago, and it was pretty obvious right from the jump that Pecorino just didn't have it that night. I felt similar last night. The first goal, there was nothing you could do about. I mean, you know, you leave a guy wide open in front of the net. I understand it. You're chasing Connor McDavid behind the net, but you still have to guard the front of the net.
Yeah.
That was basically a slam dunk play. There's nothing you could do about that. That second one was where he just looked uncomfortable. He was late getting over, moving side to side. And as he was moving and kind of wasn't really facing the right way in terms of the angle of the shot from where it was coming, he leaves it exposed. It squirts through kind of the seven hole there between his chest and his shoulder. It was just one of those goals where you look at it and you're like, you know what? On a normal night, when Rene's on, he's seeing the puck well, he's tracking it well, he makes that save with relative ease. And look, I get it. It's Leon Draisaitl. I mean, he leads the league in scoring. He's probably going to be the MVP of the league this year. But even with Leon Draisaitl, like, that's a shot you got to stop. And when that happened and he didn't stop that puck, I kind of knew that he may be in for a rough night. And he just never really looked comfortable the rest of the night anyway. Like, even on saves he was making, he still didn't look overly comfortable in net, which happens sometimes when he's in net. You can kind of get a read on how the game's going for him.
Yep. To me, it's the lack of, or maybe there's got to be a better way to say it, but it's the lack of economy of body movement. So whatever the opposite of economy of body movement is, you know, when he's together, it's very contained. And when he's flailing about, basically, you kind of have an idea that it's not going to be his night. That goal reminded me a little bit of a goal in the Winnipeg Game 7 in 2018 when he got pulled quickly
yeah.
in that game by Peter Laviolette. So, a terrible night. I'm not ready to, you know, say that he's, you know, should just, I've got some people, I think, tweeting at us like he should, you know, I don't want to see him in the net again. I want Ingram up there with Saros. And no, that's not happening. And it shouldn't happen. You know, he'll be out there again. And I think the Preds are going to have to lean on him. And I don't think they're uncomfortable doing so.
Trevor writes in on the text line and says, Forsberg and Duchesne have four goals in 2020, Draisaitl did that in one night. That kind of goes to show some of the problems.
Is that four goals combined?
That's what he says. I'll have to go back and double check that. But that sounds like it could be right.
Could be right.
I mean Forsberg did go the entire month of February without scoring a goal.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
Scored two, I think, on the last day of January against New Jersey. But it is certainly, it's been a rough go offensively for some of their top guys. And, like, I get it. They don't have anybody like Draisaitl. They don't have anybody like McDavid. And nobody's really asking them to have anybody like Draisaitl or McDavid. The top level of Johansson that we've seen, the top level of Forsberg we've seen, Duchesne, are like that. That's good enough.
Absolutely.
Like that's good enough to win in this league. You could win a championship with those guys based on the rest of the roster that you have. But right now, you know, I've kind of been patient with Forsberg, especially, and patient with some of these guys. I'm out of patience, man. Like, you're at the point of the season where you get paid to produce, and you got to do it. Like, it's up to you now. You can have a coach try to put you in a position. You can have a coach, you know, change lines around, and you can use that as an excuse for a while, I guess. But now you've reached the point to me where if you're Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, those three in particular, and to a certain degree, Arvidsson as well, it's just time to produce. Like, the excuses have got to stop. And I'm not saying those guys are making excuses, but I think a lot of us have done that for them, and that's got to stop. I mean, it's time to produce.
Yeah, I mean, Arvidsson has a built-in excuse, and Arvidsson's a guy that I don't think you could ever question his desire or effort. You know, I mean, I think he was a guy who's been a pace setter in that way in this franchise. I think in the league, you know, especially – a couple years ago, I mean, who was more pesky or relentless than Arvidsson? But the speed's gone back, so there's a little bit of an excuse there with the back and with the apparent like lower back injury from the cross check from Bortuzzo, and Forsberg. We talked about, man, he's right there, he's close, like he's doing things to put himself in position, just not bury. But yeah, like
you got to bury him, man.
Score,
like.
And then Johansson and Duchesne. Duchesne had a nice assist last night. You know, there's other guys who like Bonino. You know, gets to that hard area, make a great play, right?
He scored the goal last night.
There's some guys who are still out there doing it.
He scored every goal, it seems like, from that area this year. I mean, that's where he goes to. And quite frankly, that's where Matt Duchesne and Ryan Johansson need to get to more often.
Yes.
I understand that maybe they're not as skilled in that area as Nick Bonino is in terms of getting to the net and just kind of planting yourself there, taking the punishment and scoring goals. But they got to do that more often. You don't see them hanging around the net with anywhere near enough regularity. And that's got to change if they're going to have success offensively and get to the level they need to get to down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, they're bigger than him, so.
I mean, yeah, especially Johansson.
Right. No, it's those two, the two centers, I don't know what else there is to say, really. It's just either they're going to do it or they aren't, and it's going to be a problem. And in one of them, they just signed him to a long-term deal. He's going to be here. Johansson's a guy that I think is probably – the focal point of frustration for this year. I think he kind of represents all of it, just this kind of just confounding season where you can't quite put a finger on it. There's no real explanation. He knows it. He's talked about it. I think he wants it to change, but it's on him to do it. And sometimes, you know, the coach putting him in a position or the captain yelling at someone, all that stuff, that's fine and good, but at some point it's on an individual to earn his pay.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of what's taken place last night has brought up conversations that have creeped up among the Predators fan base throughout this season, and that is the leadership group, maybe even specifically the captain, Roman Josi. Do we feel like that's been an issue with why the Predators' intensity has been lacking so often so far this season? We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through a rough Tuesday morning in our community. Devastating storms moving through the area last night. I'm sure a lot of you were like us and woke up this morning and just kind of saw the images filing in, and unfortunately the death toll continuing to rise. I think the last time I saw it was at 9 that were confirmed to be dead. Governor Bill Lee spoke earlier in the morning, I think about an hour and a half ago, and said, you know, search and rescue operations are still underway, and unfortunately that count could continue to rise as they continue to kind of sift through the wreckage and the rubble and the debris that's been left behind powerful tornadoes striking our area last night. So, you know, Joe, you're already starting to see signs of, you know, our city coming together, trying to do everything they can as fellow citizens to help. And I think there's going to be a lot of times and places for that from a physical standpoint, like physically getting out in the street and helping people clean up over the course of the next few days. I think first responders right now are still trying to, number one, assess the damage, and number two, perform those search and rescue operations to find people who still may be stuck in wreckage and rubble. So just a terrifying situation. And, you know, we retweeted, you know, we've seen countless examples of, you know, homes destroyed, businesses destroyed, churches, schools, all sorts of different things that just kind of give you an indication of how powerful these storms can be. I think Heather Mathis from Channel 5 retweeted or tweeted out something earlier about a car
that was amazing.
Getting,
I mean,
launched up to the third level of an apartment complex in Hermitage. I mean, just think about how much force it takes to pick a car up off the ground and send it into the third level of an apartment complex. It's just, it's some of these things, you know, are borderline unbelievable that we've seen in our community, and just a devastating day here.
Yeah, it is. And it is just the tornado itself. It's, I've never been, you know, close enough to one to feel it like Marquise has been, you know, but just look at some of these photos and many big structures just leveled and shredded. I mean, it's terrifying stuff. So as you said, Robbie, the response, no surprise here, and it's going to continue to be that way. You know, we'll get through this great, and we'll be proud of this community and how we respond to this. But, you know, right now it's, you know, it's people being searched for, and it's power lines down, and hopefully a death toll that doesn't keep rising.
Yeah, and kind of one of the main messages from both John Cooper and Governor Bill Lee earlier today was, you know, if you don't have to be on the streets today, stay off of them. Like, you know, especially in the affected areas, you know, first responders and people in there cleaning up and searching for people, they're going to need as much room as they can get. They're going to need as much uninterrupted space to be able to operate as they can possibly get. So if you're in, you know, the East Nashville area, Germantown, North Nashville, all of these different places, Lebanon, Mount Juliet, just be cautious about where you're going, what you're doing. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we as human beings, we have a temptation when something big like this happens that, you know, we want to get out and we want to go see it for ourselves. We want to take in, you know, what's happened to our community. And there will be a time and place that maybe you can do that in the next few days. But today, my advice would be to kind of caution against that and just let the first responders do their thing.
And no doubt about it. My friend Jen Todd from the Tennessean, and this is not the stuff you want to read. That death toll is up to 19, as confirmed by TEMA. So 19 people dead across four counties. That's probably not done changing, but that's a big jump. You know, it was kind of going up slowly from when we got in here before 6 a.m. today. But
yeah, that's a massive jump. I think we were at 9 before that, right?
Yeah, nine or 10. So, again, you know, your thoughts and prayers are the people who lost someone today. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the possessions are one thing, the businesses. I mean, all of that's terrible, and it's tragic. But, obviously, the human life part of this is those are the things that can't be replaced. And those are the things that, at the end of the day, those are the most important things. I mean, regardless of where you work, you know, where you go to school, what church building you're in, like all of those things can be replaced and you can rebuild. You can't rebuild a human life. And just a really tragic situation for the death toll to be that high and to be as high as it is. I mean, one death is a tragedy. 19, I mean, this is a day that we're never going to forget in this community. It's just awful.
Agree.
Yeah. So with that, we'll transition back into our sports discussion, which can be difficult to do, very difficult to do on days like today. We mentioned before the break, Joe, that, you know, a lot of people, when the Predators lose games like they did last night, and the coach comes out and says, you know, the intensity wasn't there, the effort at times was not there either, not enough sustained pressure, not really anything that was sustained in that game for the Predators. A lot of fans look at those comments and they look at the way the team played on the ice, especially in the third period, and they say, you know, you've got 18 games left in the season. You're holding on to the second wild card spot in the playoffs by a thread. How in the world do you come out of that and not have the intensity level that you need to have And the first thing people point to now that they've made a coaching change and Peter Laviolette's out, John Hines is in, the first thing people are going to point to is the leadership group. And what kind of a leadership group do you have in that locker room? We've always thought that it's very good. We've always thought that's been a strength of this team. And Roman Yossi specifically, because he's the captain, because he's the one that wears the C, he's receiving a lot of criticism from some population of the Predators fan base right now. I still think it's probably the very vocal minority. But I do wonder, you know, at what point do we have to start asking questions about the leadership group? Because I'm of the opinion that Roman Yossi is a fine captain. I think he does a very good job. I'm not sure what else on the ice you would really have him do. I mean, he's physically carried this team at times this year. But the more this happens and you have instances like took place last night, I think the more people are going to start to question that leadership group, and it's hard to argue that.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that happens in sports is, you know, if a leader is personally struggling with his or her game, then that, you know, that can easily affect that aspect, yep. Right? I mean, you know, it's hard to tell someone else what to do if you aren't doing it right or you aren't doing it well. I mean, usually your leaders are among your best players. No difference here with this team. So if you look at the whole group, you know, a Johansson, I mean, the leadership group is, I mean, they've had several guys wear A's, right? But Johansson's a guy, Forsberg's a guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could see how, like, when you're not producing and you're trying to figure it out, it's going to affect you. But Roman Yossi's having a Norris-level season. So that's not a concern. It's not like he's not performing. And look, I think that he does his job in that captain role in a very similar way to the last two captains, even though that might surprise some people, especially when it comes to Shea Weber.
Yes.
But Shea Weber said it himself. You know, I actually wrote about this a couple weeks ago, and you know, it's not about throwing someone up against a locker and screaming at him. That's never going to be Roman Yossi. But when he got the C, no one thought, oh, now Roman will start throwing guys around. It's just not how it is, you know. Do you have the respect of the people in the room? Can you have honest conversations with them? I think in both cases, it's a resounding yes for Roman Yossi. I mean, there's a limitation to what the leadership group can do.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it because he's ticked off. Saw it again last night. I mean, he's doing everything he can, and he's just puzzled by this stuff. And you can see it after a lot of these games. What else can he do? I don't know.
No, it's not Roman Yossi's responsibility as team captain to walk around to each individual in that locker room before every game and find some way to get them to play at their top level. That responsibility, number one, falls on the coaching staff, but number two, and probably most importantly, that's on the guy. That's on each individual guy, especially at this time of the year. Look, you know, they can talk about wanting to bring the same effort 82 games a year, and that's fine. But we all know they're human beings. You get through late December, right after Christmas, the early part of January, where you're about halfway through the season, but you're not really close enough to the playoffs yet where you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Those are some hard days to get through for an NHL hockey player. You're going to the rink every day. You're practicing. You're playing games every other night in most cases. And that becomes a grind after a while. You hear about the dog days of summer in baseball. Well, they're like the dog days of January in hockey. Now, the All-Star break and the bye week have helped that out a lot, I think. But you understand performances and comments like John Hines made last night after the game more during that part of the season. When you're at this point and you're at the position the Predators are in, where you're at 72 points along with two other teams in the West, the team right in front of you is at 74, and the team, oh, by the way, that you're playing tonight has 71. When things are that tight with this few amount of games remaining, to me, it's inexcusable for that intensity level not to be there. And that's what I was trying to figure out last night when I asked John Hines the question. And quite frankly, I think that's what John Hines is trying to figure out with this group about how that's the case.
Yeah, and his actions tell you who he's trying to, you know, solve. I mean, it's the same people we talk about all the time. So, it's not easy, and they're trying all these different things. And I would say this when it comes to Roman Josi and the captain question is who would be your replacement? Like, who's the alternative in the locker room? You know, that's, I mean, do you want, I guess, like some kind of enforcer, you know, just come in and growl at people? I mean, it's just not, you know, it's not what it is.
That is a great point, because I think there are people that just want the Predators to change captains just for the sake of changing captains. So, like, there's some hidden leader in this group that for some reason, because he doesn't have the C, isn't stepping up and leading now. But once you give it to him, then things are just going to magically change, and you're going to break through, and all of a sudden you're going to have the leader that you've always dreamt of having. Well, let me tell you this. If you're going through a situation right now and somebody in that locker room who you think should be the captain isn't already leading through this, let me tell you, they don't need to be the captain. Like, it just boils down to that. I mean, you do not need a letter on your chest to lead. Do you think Pecorine is a leader in that room? I sure as heck do. He doesn't have a letter on his chest. I mean, do you think when Mike Fisher came back 2 years ago, he didn't have a letter when he came back out of retirement? Probably still looked at as a pretty good leader in that room. So if you're under the opinion that they need to change captains from Roman Josi, and you think the answer is somewhere in that room and that person's not leading right now, I got news for you. The answer is not somewhere else in that room if that's the case, if that's your opinion.
I mean, they already changed coaches. So, you know, it's true. At some point, it's like, here are the people, do better.
Yeah.
And if you play this game at this level, especially with all the veterans now on this team, and you get paid what you get paid, then you need to be a leader too. And so maybe it's true that more guys need to be like that or be vocal, talk to each other, whatever it is. But I think Yossi's doing everything he can do.
I think he is too. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show for today. Look ahead to tonight's game, an important, crucial matchup against the Minnesota Wild. And the result, either way, is going to make a dramatic shift in the standings. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through what's been, quite honestly, a pretty tough show today to try to get through and talk about when we've just been, you know, constantly reminded of the, you know, devastation that's taken place in our community. As Joe mentioned in the last segment, death toll now up to 19 in the storms last night, which is just awful to really think about. Just pure devastation in our community and in surrounding communities last night with the storms coming in. And, you know, we know that all of you are seeing these images as well, and we've kind of been reacting just like y'all have, and it's really tough to see, and, you know, we're going to get through it. We're going to find a way to rebuild and move together as a community, but that doesn't mean that today is any less difficult, because it's been really tough to watch the images continuing to file in this morning. And Joe and Marquise, I know y'all both feel the same way. So,
no, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, appreciate Marquise's perspective on this as someone who went through the awful tornado of Tuscaloosa 2011, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you did. There was a question, Robbie, about voting, right?
Yeah, we got a text in on the text line that says, do you guys know if they'll be extending the voting because some people not being able to get out to vote due to the storm? I have not heard whether or not they're going to be extending the voting day or the time or anything to that measure. I do know that they have changed some locations in terms of where voting was going to be done originally, and now they've shifted some of those locations. And I know, Joe, you have some of that information available to you right now.
Yeah, I mean, and this is Nashville Public Radio, WPLN, has a list on its site. You can come to either of the – yeah, the time is apparently, you know, 8 a.m., 7 p.m., which is, I believe, you know, just the normal, the time.
Right.
Hadley Park Community Center has reopened. You can come to, in Davidson County, to 1417 Murfreesboro Pike or 800 Second Avenue, fourth floor. You've got a lot of places that are closed, like Churchill Elementary, Centennial Park, Art Center, 15th Avenue Baptist, Union Hall, 737, Watkins Community Center closed. As we said this earlier, residents who would vote at any of those, you can go to Pearl Cone instead. A bunch of others are closed, and the alternative location is Donelson Presbyterian. That's Hermitage Elementary, Rube Major Elementary, Hermitage Presbyterian, DuPont Tyler School, Hermitage Hills Baptist, Hermitage Community Center, Tennessee School for the Blind, Two Rivers Middle School, and Donelson Heights. All those, you can go to Donelson Presbyterian. And then there's Cleveland Community Center as an alternative for Ross Elementary, East Community Center, Shelby Community Center, Martha O'Brien, and Cora House School. So a lot of mixing and matching, a lot of switching around. Looks like the hours, for the most part, are going to be the same.
Yeah. So that's the up-to-date information in terms of what we know for the voting taking place today. I know schools, Metro Public Schools, closed today. I think Wilson County Schools are already closed for the remainder of this week. Obviously, Wilson County dealt a lot of devastation last night. Mount Juliet, Lebanon, in that area. So, understandably, schools will be closed for the remainder of the week in Wilson County. And, Joe, now, I guess, you know, as we kind of sift through the wreckage here the next few days, as we get a better idea of what's gone on from a damage standpoint, what needs to be rebuilt, what needs to be cleared out of the way, that's when we as a community can kind of come together and help our neighbors in need. But the best piece of advice I think we've been given from Metro government officials today, as well as Governor Bill Lee, has been, you know what, the first responders, they're still out there. They still have a job to do. And if you don't need to be on the roads today, especially in areas that have been affected, do your best to try to stay off of those and try to stay out of the way.
Yep, that's definitely something to consider today. Don't be out there unless you have to. And we've said this a few times, but if you want to help, get into an organized situation where you can be best utilized. And Hands on Nashville, that's on Twitter, at HO Nashville. The website, HON.org, and you know, that's a great way to help and be as helpful as possible.
Joe, real quick, final thoughts as we're wrapping up the show here. Big game for the Preds tonight in Minnesota. The standings are about as tight as it gets. Preds with 72 points, hanging on by the skin of their teeth to that final wild card spot in the Western Conference. Minnesota with 71. Both teams have played 65 games. So the games in hand advantage that the Predators have had pretty much all season long is starting to evaporate the more and more they're playing games now as we get closer to the end of the season. It's about as big as it gets tonight for the Nashville Predators in the regular season. You win this game in regulation, you're 3 points up on the Wild. You lose this game in regulation, you're 1 point behind the Wild. Not to mention the fact that Winnipeg and Arizona are also right there with 72 points. Big one tonight in Minnesota.
Huge. Against one of the hottest players in the league, a guy people around here know well, Kevin Fiala. So, it's, I mean, it just doesn't stop. You've got this on a back-to-back, and then you're going to play Dallas, come back and play Dallas, and you're going to go play Dallas. I mean, it's big game after big game. And UC Soros, there's a lot on him. You know, the thing about this like a Pecorino performance like last night, I mean, UC Soros has assumed the starter role. We know that. And he's performed well. You know, watching his mentor play like Pecorino did last night, does that affect him?
Yeah.
Because, you know, look, you know in the back of your mind, one, I mean, you know, you feel for him, but two, you know how much is now on you. Not that it wasn't before, but, you know, that's the type of thing that you think about, too, with these guys in relationships and how one guy struggling might affect another guy. You know, this is going to be a big pressure moment for UC Soros to see if he can step up, because they're going to need him tonight and many nights moving forward.
They are, and if you know, you come back, you play well tonight, and you get a win, especially if you get a win in regulation, I think a lot of the sour taste that is in the mouths of Preds fans after what went on in that third period at Bridgestone Arena last night, I'm not going to say it totally washes it out, because that's something that's hard to forget when you just get waxed like that in the third period and give up 5 goals. But I do think you really minimize the damage that was done if you're able to come back tonight, win this game in regulation against Minnesota, give yourself a 3-point cushion on them, continue to hold on to that final wild card spot. I think that's going to be big for this team.
Yeah, I mean, you should be motivated by the playoff race alone, but if you want a little extra, You know, there's some embarrassment in your very recent past that you can kind of try to wipe away. So, as Roman Josi said, you know, everybody should wake up angry today. So we'll see if they play that way. And if playing angry even helps you, I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to execute. It's not just want to. It's also executing a game of skill.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to everybody for kind of hanging with us on a tough day here in our community. Joe, really good job by you today. Marquise, you as well. Thanks for kind of helping us through this show. It was a tough one, one of the tougher ones we've had to do, a horrible day in our community, but thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you.
Great job by you, Robbie. Both you guys. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yep. We get through this together.
Absolutely, and we'll do that as we move forward here. Darren, Donick, and Chase is coming up next. This has been Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.